Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio and Joe DiBiase. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
It is Friday. As I just had, Josh was on the other line. He heard me. For some reason, I was drinking a cup of coffee, and I went down the wrong little way, and I went, oh, my God, I'm sorry, Josh, if that happened right in your ear as you were listening.
I got me down the other two.
Apologies.
I got nervous. I thought you were having an issue.
No, it's all good. It's all good. But that's the way we start on a Friday. I'm just revved up. I'm ready to go, and I was ready to just kind of attack it. So it attacked me instead. Friday, it is here. Sal Capaccio, Sneaky Joe DiBiase, Josh Schmidt, the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. How are we feeling after yesterday, after day one of the NCAA tournament? We had some interesting games, some good endings, some upsets. How about Kentucky? Joe, I thought of you today because remember yesterday or a few days ago you were talking to me. I think off the air you were telling me about all this Kate Middleton stuff. I had no idea, right?
Oh,
Kate
yeah.
Middleton stuff.
Yes. Yeah.
There was a Twitter account that said, and with all due respect, because we don't know what's going on with Kate Middleton, but it's some sort of mystery. She hasn't been seen. There's a Twitter account. This is Jess Benson TV, Jessica Benson, and she tweeted, big month for UK disappearing acts. And she has a picture of Kate Middleton next to John Calipari.
That's so good. Yeah.
That is social media. That is how you social media.
Yeah. The memers are having a good time with the disappearance, or not even disappearance, just lack of public appearance from Kate Middleton for like 6 months. That's pretty good. Yeah.
And now John Calipari and the Kentucky Wildcats are out too. That was a pretty big upset yesterday. That was interesting. Did you watch that game at all? How did you consume your day?
No, at that point I was onto the Sabres at that point.
Yes.
So I might have had that on in the background a little bit on the phone, but I was paying more attention to the Sabres at that point. So I went over to a buddy's house. He had five TVs set up in his living room. All in a line, ready to go. One TV on each game. Great setup. He does it every year. And we watched the first, three, 4 hours of games. And it wasn't as mad as it's been in the past. There were still some good basketball. There were some blowouts, too. The midday would have left me a little wanting. You didn't have any buzzer beaters. You didn't have any massive upsets. So, and my bracket also didn't do so good, which obviously... That doesn't help.
You had a half-court buzzer beater at halftime by South Carolina, but it meant nothing because they lost to Oregon. I don't know if you saw that one.
Yep.
Guy has a half-court buzzer beater there, but eventually Oregon winds up winning. That busted my bracket. I actually had South Carolina going to the Final Four, my one bracket that I do. So that's not going to happen now. And I hated doing it because they're playing Oregon. I told you, my brother's an Oregon fan. He went to Oregon for his PhD. So, you know, I root for Oregon in that regard. So I didn't like doing it. But I love the fact that, like, South Carolina was this team that nobody really thought was going to do much this year. And they had a really nice run, middle of the season. I kind of latched on to them, watching them a little bit. So they're out of my bracket. Oakland, the team that we didn't really – you guys had to correct me on the geography yesterday. I mistakenly said Oakland, California. It's near Detroit. You said Detroit is where Oakland is?
Auburn
near
Hills.
That area. It's in
Auburn
Michigan.
Hills,
yeah. Auburn Hills, yeah. That's
so close.
That's
yeah.
near Detroit. Yep. They're the team that wound up beating John Calipari and the Kentucky Wildcats. So a 14 winds up beating a 3. And I will tell everybody that if you are a Tennessee Volunteers fan at all, you can thank Joe and Josh and me for having Tennessee as our lone survivor in NCAA Survivor. They crushed St. Peter's. I am quite sure, Joe, that the Tennessee Volunteers took our motivation to know that we were all counting on them.
Yes. Also,
and they did it.
Also, I think Dayton Flyers fans can thank us, because since they were the first eliminated by us, they were extra motivated for being doubted and hated on by our show, even though Jeremy was the one who kicked them out. So, yeah, Dayton should be thanking us, too.
I told you, I have a bracket contest, and I told everybody, it's free. Like, hey, you want to join in? We just want to have some fun with listeners, and, you know, I'm going to give a couple prizes out at the very end. So after I promoted it here yesterday, suddenly the numbers just started spiking. And I believe at the end of it, let me go check this, Joe. There are, here it is, over 400 brackets in my contest, which is great, right? And now I'm going to have to check the standings to see. After day one, who is leading my bracket contest? I'm going to take a look at this. Here we go. Standings.
Any perfect ones?
Someone named Austin, who has Alabama winning it all. Someone named Austin is leading the 400 plus brackets of my bracket contest at CBSSports.com. They have Alabama winning it all.
Alabama winning it all.
Yes.
Ooh, good luck with that. I don't know. The shooting dries up for one of six games and you're toast. But I respect picking a 4 seed. It's like the right amount of, there's a little bit of a chance. Well, I mean, out of 400 people, how many people picked Alabama? Like, they're probably
That's a good question.
10?
I mean, actually, if I look at my own bracket contest and look at all the finals here, there's not many. There's actually, that's the only one until I get down to the person who's in 31st place.
Okay, yeah. I was going to say, I guess Nate Oates having the connection here would, maybe some people would. But,
yes.
Yeah. And he plays today?
I think so. Today is another round of games, obviously. Today is the second round, the second day of the first round of the NCAA tournament, and we're going to do our NCAA Survivor. We're going to wait on that a little bit today because we have Paul Hamilton at the bottom of the hour. So I want to get to a few things before we do that, before we talk to Paul. Sabres just last night. We'll talk about that, too, and how you consumed it. I want to go back to what you said a little while ago, though. I had a great time last night. Really, it was awesome. The Coaches versus Cancer event that we did, it was over at Sports City Pizza Pub, and they have a lot of TVs. And we were able to watch the games. We were raising money for Coaches versus Cancer. There were giveaways and raffles, and I jumped behind the bar for an hour. Maddie Glab was there from the Bills. She jumped behind the bar. And then we had Maniac from Trainwreck Sports, our guy, he was there joining us.
Nice.
And then a bunch of coaches came in. It was really cool, Joe. Mike McDonald was there, obviously the head coach at Damon. Had several high school coaches show up. And Greg Paulus. It was cool. It was one of those times in life where I like, hey, Greg, and I know Greg. And I said, hey, come over here and meet my wife and my friend. And I got a chance to brag and say, this is Greg Paulus. He's my friend, and he played point guard at Duke. Oh, okay. That's really nice, right? And oh, yeah, then he played quarterback at Syracuse University because he was like the most amazing athlete in New York State. And they're like, wow, that's really something. I'm like, oh, yeah, now he's the head coach at Niagara. So it was really cool. Coach Paulus came out. Coach McDonald was there. Rich Jacob, who's the coach of the new, I think it's semi-pro team, the Western New York Extreme, he was there. So it was a very cool event. Really appreciate it. But what you said about the TVs. So the Sabres game comes on, and people are there watching March Madness. The Sabres score early. There's all this cheering, but I didn't realize the Sabres scored because there was already a lot of cheering going on because March Madness was happening in the background. So you kind of had to figure out what was everybody cheering for at that time.
You wouldn't have been able to tell, like, when the Sabres scored, it could have been anything?
Pretty much, yeah. Now, there were a lot of cheers, but I heard a lot of cheers during, like, the Kentucky game and, you know, other games that were going on and at the ends of games. So
yeah.
Kind of didn't know what was happening. And then you're like, oh, yeah, they're okay, the Sabres just scored. There's J.J. Paterka scored that goal. So that was cool. And then it went all downhill. By the time I got home, watching the, you know, tail end of the second period, third period, I stayed up because the Sabres were in it. and then it all fell apart. What the heck happened? I mean, what from your read, you watched the game. I mean, what happened to this team in the third period?
I did the thing that probably a lot of fans did, which was second intermission. Like, all right, close game. Maybe I'll watch the third period back the next morning. It's late. So I watched the third period this morning, and man, what a mistake. Should have just stayed in bed for an extra 40 minutes or 30 minutes. So I think they quit on the final three. Like, I think that's pretty clear. If you look at what watch the skaters on those final three goals. Don't watch the puck. Watch where the Sabres are positioned. Watch where they're moving. They quit on their goaltender. And their goaltender showed emotion that would say that, too. Smashed his stick. He threw the puck in the corner on another one after he made a save that Paul pointed out earlier today. So I think early on in the period, you know, McDavid made an unbelievable play. Draisaitl made an unbelievable play. That's going to happen. Those guys are the most talented players in the league. But that they, I think, really quit on their goaltender on the last couple that allowed the game to get way out of hand.
Yeah, that's not good. It's not good to have that takeaway and look at that and that body language and everything you're talking about. This morning, Jeremy threw out a Twitter question. And the question was, what, and I don't know how you guys tell me how much you talked about this, but he said, like, what's the biggest thing they'll entertain, right? The biggest move they'll entertain? Is that kind of how he phrased it, right?
Yep.
And I looked at the replies, and most of the replies were not answering that question. Most of the replies were simply, fire the coach, fire the GM. It's not what he asked, but that's how mad people are, right? And that's where we've been. We've been living in this space. I don't know, like, what you guys came up with, but I would tell you, when I started to think about it, I do think that is the biggest move they would entertain. The biggest move they'd entertain is probably firing Don Granato. I don't know if they'll do it, and as I sit here right now, I don't think he'll do it. But I don't think it's off the table. I think that would be the biggest move they would entertain.
I kind of tend to agree. I mean, I don't think they'll do it, if I had to guess sitting here right now, but I made this comparison earlier that, like, they were not a team that looked to be planning to spend to the cap coming out of COVID. I mean, they had made a lot of business decisions also that would imply that too. And then, you know, if you watch the Beyond Blue and Gold from before that season, like 4 years ago, they signed Taylor Hall, 1 year, $8 million. They did that. They found an idea they liked enough that could put them in competitiveness with other teams that, okay, for this, we'll do it. For this, we'll spend right to the cap that season. So they signed Taylor Hall. And I think that of the same mentality right now would be, all right, Don Granato's contract extension has not even kicked in yet. So kind of hard to believe that they would fire him and pay him the length of that whole extension to not work behind the bench. But what's the Taylor Hall idea for them? Is there a move out there that would be, we do not plan on firing Don Granato, but ooh, we do like this idea maybe enough that we would think about it. So in that way, I do think coaching is the place to look for what's the biggest move they would entertain, because Sal, otherwise I do not see an even half realistic idea with the roster right now that makes sense for them this summer. That would be considered a big move. I mean, they already made it, right? They traded Mittelstadt for Byram. The next move beyond that, I mean, your top six at forward, your top four on the blue line, and both of your goalie spots, all of that is pretty concrete. So you'd have to be talking about trading, who, Paterka with a pick and a prospect for some superstar, or trading off one like Samuelson, or one of you're going to move Luukkonen while his value's high. I don't even know what the idea is that isn't something at the bottom of the roster or the coach.
I think that's where it would have to be. The biggest move they'd entertain is one of their top players that we just think were kind of not necessarily immovable, I guess, because when you sign the contracts, they are Tage Thompson, Dylan Cousins. And then you think about these prospects, and maybe that's it. But what
the prospects,
I mean, teams move prospects all the time, right? Here in Buffalo, we fall in love with them because they've been bad for so long, the team. We fall in love with prospects here in Buffalo more than any other team and city and franchise and fan base falls in love with their prospects because that represents hope. And these other places, they don't need to represent hope. They're already winning.
Right.
So if they were to trade a Savoy or a Kulik or an Oslin or who am I missing here? One more. Rosin. If they were trading, if they were trading one of those four, okay?
Yep.
It would like be shockwaves to this fan base. There would be every other fan base like, oh yeah, Sabres traded a couple prospects. Yeah, right. You know what I mean?
Right.
That, because that's we hold them so near and dear here because of what has been here for the last 13 years.
Well, maybe like that might not be the reaction like around the league. Like I think some of that would be, but what are
for
you
for people who know hockey? I agree with you.
Yeah,
but I mean, like it wouldn't matter for a lot of other teams to trade some of their top prospects. Like it would matter here to this fan base because we think that that's the hope that represents.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, not trading the prospects wouldn't, but wouldn't I assume that if they moved two of those top prospects, like why are they doing that? Why are they moving Savoy? Isn't he a part of a big package that includes maybe a first round pick and something else, and they are getting a great player? Like what else are you trading them for? Like you're not trading them one for one for what? Like a fourth line center? Like they're not doing that. And who would even really want them to do that? Like the only reason maybe that is the answer though. Like what's the biggest move they would entertain? It's more of a concept than it is like an actual player idea. The concept is I've got my top six forward, top four blue line, and two goalies. Already, I know who those people are. So now I got all these other prospects, and I don't have room for them at the top of the lineup. So what's the concept? What's the trade? I am moving two of them and picks, and I am going and getting a better player that's going to move into one of those important roles. I mean, that really is the only idea. Even then, you've got to talk about someone getting bumped down the lineup, but you can get there more easily if the player's proven. That's really got to be the answer, right? The biggest move I think they would entertain and maybe even want to do is we've got all these prospects. Let's take a couple of them, pair them with some picks, and let's go get, you know, let's go get the best player in a trade.
Yeah, you're right about that. I mean, if they were to do it, you'd have to have something large in return, which then becomes a bigger story, right? But
yeah,
that's
right.
Probably the only way they do it. And I still go back to, I don't know what larger trade you're doing for a player that then might have a say on coming here or not. It goes back to this no movement clause, no trade clause, all that stuff that, you know, you'd have to get a young enough player like a Byram, and they don't have that ability to do that. And that's the part where Kevin Adams would be stuck, because I do believe he wants to improve the team. I do think it's also harder for him to improve the team.
Yep.
The way that he wants to.
Well, that's what, and I mentioned this earlier talking about this too, that like this is one of the reasons, not the only reason, like finances is another reason too, but this is maybe one of the reasons that they would feel like they want to hang on to Don Granato, is they only have so many things that can be used in a sales pitch to get a great player to come here. The one thing they might have going for them is that Don Granato, if you read the tea leaves by the way his players act, I mean, still out here, you've got players talking about a single fire Granato chant that happened in a game where they gave up 9 goals back in December. Still, I've got Alex Tuck out here on Elliot Friedman's podcast still talking about that. And I've had other, Dahlin talked about it, Oposo talked about it. You had that little stretch of time where we were kind of wondering, are they not saluting the fans because of it? Like, look how they defend this coach. Look how Granato's talked about in other circles. Look how Jack Eichel talks glowingly about him. Middlestad now is on another team, I'm sure, talking glowingly about Don Granato. Love him or hate him for lineup decisions or strategy or whatnot, but this is a team that has a big problem or a hard time right now convincing players to come here. And I do wonder if a thing that Granato's got in his back pocket that will help him keep his job is he is a reason that players might be more willing to come here and play, is because he has a good reputation seemingly among players around the league.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I mean, you're right. They have shown an affinity for him, and the way he handles people, the way he treats people, that hasn't necessarily translated. We hear all the time. What's the thing we hear all the time about the Sabres, right? That's the It's from top down. They have to change their operation. They need to hire a vice president of hockey operations. Ownership's been here for this long, and they can't win. I don't know, like, the players in the building, if they still feel that way. Like, I'm sure if people go out the door, if you ask Sam Reinhart, he might, right? If you ask Jack Eichel, he might. But maybe the coach is a little bit different. I'm not really sure. Maybe the players here now feel that that isn't the case, that Kevin Adams has kind of turned a lot of that around. Kevin Adams is certainly different than Jason Botchel, right? If you've ever been around the two, I think they're just two different kinds of people, right? Different than Tim Murray. They just hired a new COO. I'm not sure how much that matters necessarily, but we'll see the direction that they want to go with that as well. He was asked, by the way, Pete Quelle was asked on the Zoom call that I was on. He's a new COO of the Sabres and the Bills. He was asked about hiring a vice president of hockey operations, and he basically he didn't like say they were not going to do that. He said, this is the structure, like this structure works. So my assumption is they're not going to do that. You know, they're not in the, and people think that they should, but they're not going to do that anytime soon. So, you know, we'll see if there's the same decision makers. I mean, heck, I don't think Kevin Adams is going to lose his job, but would you be stunned in the summer if something happened where suddenly Terry Pegula announces he has another general manager? It would be surprising to me.
I might be willing to say I'd be stunned by that. I might be willing to say that because I think, you know, without knowing anything, but I think Adams being a Pegula guy, I don't know if I want to label him as that, but just someone that's been working in the building for a long time that they clearly have shown a lot of faith in and a lot of trust in up to this point. You know, like I think I would be pretty stunned if this was the all he would get. I think there are other, I think the coach would go long before Adams would. I would believe that before Adams would even be in consideration to be let go, he would get another swing at head coach.
Yeah, that's probably right. And I agree with you. They do have a great relationship with each other. We know how much Terry talks about him. Even Pete Quelle, when he came on, talked about, you know, Kevin and going forward. It just very, very much seemed like that's the plan throughout the organization and what they want to do. It is the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio, Sneaky Joe DiBiase, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Coming up at 11:05, we'll do today's NCAA Survivor. We will eliminate teams playing today one by one until we get to a consensus between Joe and Josh and myself on who we're going to root for today. Yesterday it was Tennessee, and they blew out St. Peter. So you're welcome, Tennessee, for us giving you that motivation. We have Paul Hamilton coming up. I want to touch on this Ohtani story a little bit, Joe. I'm not sure how familiar you are with it, but it just keeps getting a little bit more bizarre and a little bit more concerning. So I want to touch on that today as well. We got Sabres talk. We have Bills talk. Bills head to the NFL owners meetings with Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott. A couple things on the docket. We talked about rules. But how about some other operational things that are going to be discussed by the NFL, including the trade deadline, which was something that came up yesterday. We'll talk about that and a lot more on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
That was clean. I don't know if there was a foul right there. That is an incredible play. Wow. Man. With the game on the line, that is an incredible block that just got taken away from Sanford.
Gene Steratore, do you agree with us?
I do agree with you guys. It's a great block by Sanford right there. A really great job with the inside hand, getting the top of all ball right there, fellas.
Okay, last night, there's a reason why I'm playing this now is I want to talk. I want to bring Paul in. We're going to transition here because this all kind of weaves in together. Joe, did you see that play last night from Sanford, the block on Kansas that was called a foul?
Yes, it did.
Oh, Sanford got absolutely hosed. There is like 30 seconds left or so. I have to go back and look. Kansas is up two, and they have an open layup after breaking the press. And the player for Kansas going up, Sanford player goes up and has an amazing, awesome block, but it's so quick. I mean, he has all ball. His hand does not touch the player at all. His body doesn't touch him. Great block. They call it a foul. Kansas then hits a couple free throws, which basically takes Sanford out of, you know, winning the game, where they would have had the ball down two in one possession. And it just completely, at the end of the game, obviously mattered big time. Now, the reason I'm bringing it up here and bringing Paul in is there's no replay challenge there. There's no I don't know. I don't know what the answer is, because I don't want more replay challenges necessarily, but college basketball coaches can't review. They can't replay it. They can't challenge it, right? They can go to review for different things, but not in this particular situation, and you don't have a challenge if you're a coach. This has been coming up in all these different sports. We've talked about it with football a lot. We also have it in hockey, of course, all the time with, you know, replays. And now we have more proposed challenges or changes to the replay system in hockey during the owners' meetings that are going on. I was just reading some of these. One of the changes that's being proposed is that coaches can challenge if a puck hits something before it went out of play over the boards to avoid a delay a game penalty. So, you know, the whole thing happened like in Carolina for the Sabres, right, over the glass in 07. You could, if you think that they made a mistake and it actually touched something, you can now replay that. You can challenge that. And if you lose that challenge, you get a minor penalty. They're expanding replay here in all forms and including in the NHL. We bring Paul Hamilton here now on the Westher hotline. And Paul, I was reading some of these things. That here we go. The NHL, they, it seems like every year they're just expanding and expanding and expanding replay a little bit more at a time.
Yeah, and in this case, I was sitting there, I go, why are they wasting their time, meaning the GMs? This year, as far as that call being...
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Wrong. Twice. All year.
Right.
Twice. And last year, for the whole season, six times. Are you really wasting all this time in your owners or in your GM meetings talking about something that's happened twice? Really? I mean,
yes, they are apparently. Yeah.
Yeah. Is it that important? Now, last night, I just sit there and shake my head going, I mean, I'd love to see that call right. And I don't think it would have taken that long to review it. I think you could have figured that out in less than 30 seconds that was an incorrect call. Whether they would have figured it out in 30 seconds, I don't know. But, mm-hmm. I mean, I saw one replay. It was extremely obvious it was the wrong call. And, you know, that's, you know, the way I've looked at replay in all sports. If you can't figure it out in 45 seconds, then go with the referee's call. Because that means it's too close to call. You don't need 2-minute replays. You don't need 5-minute replays. If you can't figure it out in 45 seconds, let's move on.
Another one. Challenge. Coaches can challenge. This is a proposal. The coaches can challenge friendly fire minor penalties for high sticking. If to show it was the teammate's own stick and not the opponent's stick. And if you challenge and you get it wrong, again, a minor penalty goes your way. So it feels like we're just expanding more and more, and that's what they want to do here.
Yeah, and again, I'm fine. As long as we're not taking more than 45 seconds to do it.
Right.
I don't mind replay, and I say the same thing in the NFL. I don't mind replay if we're doing it quickly, but I despise it when I'm sitting there waiting for 2, 3, 4, 5 minutes. No, then we go with the referee's call. It's too close to call, and if it takes you more than 45 seconds, then nobody is getting screwed over if you get it wrong. Because it's taking you that long and it's that close, then, you know, it's not to me. It's just time to move on and get the game going again.
Joe, did you see some of these rules proposals, some of the things they're proposing to
do? Some of them. I don't know if I saw all of them, though. Yeah, I saw, I mean, I knew the puck over glass, you know, review, and had seen the reaction that, like, it had only happened a couple of times. But I also don't think, like, Paul, like, I don't think you're going to see it that often. Like, maybe once or twice a year you're going to see it challenged.
Do you see the face-off being moved on? Here's one. Moving a face-off one zone to the benefit of the non-offending team if a player refuses to play the puck off a high stick or a hand pass. We say that all the time, right? Goes off the high stick. You're like, I'm not touching it. Well, guess what they're going to say? If you don't touch it, we're going to move it even closer to your net for a face-off.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. Yeah, I have no mm-hmm. problem with that. That, again, keeps things moving along. As far as the game.
And then finally, one other interesting one for me was this is actually happening. It is going to be put into play. I guess there was an official who got injured because players were hanging their legs over the boards, which is common practice before a shift change. Well, guess what? Now a team will get a warning and then a penalty if players' legs are hanging over the bench during play.
I never even thought of that. I mean, for all the years I played and done right. that, I just never even occurred to me, to be quite honest, that you could injure somebody or anything like that. You know, one thing I would love to see, the nets behind the net up top over the glass. Mm-hmm. It's the net. Let's keep going. Why we are whistling.
Huh.
You know, it's just like the puck going off the glass. I mean,
it's like arena football.
There. Yeah. If it goes up there and hits the net, we play it and we keep going. What's wrong with that?
Is what sparked this the referee that got hurt in the Buffalo-Anaheim game? I don't actually know.
I thought it might be, too.
Because I saw a story that official that got injured in the Sabres and Ducks game has had to retire because of his injury. But now that I'm reading it, I think it was different. Maybe this was
wait,
in the
corner. Wait, no, that was the one. There were two officials I thought that got hurt in Sabres game. The one you're thinking of, he had a really serious leg injury. That was when Greenway hit him. Right? And unintentionally, but he ran into
Pollock,
Jordan Greenway.
Kevin Pollock, yeah.
Yeah. And Joe, if you remember, that next day, I was filling in for Jeremy. We had Don Granato on, and I asked, hey, how's the official? And Don Granato said the next day he has a very serious injury. Like, wow. Like, yeah, he had to go off the ice, but apparently another official got hurt in this situation. So, yeah, rules proposals all around. That's happening in the NFL. It's happening in the NHL. Can we get a rules proposal that says, Paul Hamilton, that every 10 years, you must at least make the playoffs once because we're working on 13 now after last night. I think that this is pretty much going that way. Oh, my gosh.
I mean, the problem with what's gone on in three of the last four games, they went into this trip with a three-game winning streak. Now they've lost three out of four, and here they are further behind. But the problem is, you're behind, further behind, but you only have one game in the next 5 days. So you basically now sit and you watch. And watch other teams probably pick up points that are all around you in the standings because of all the games in hand, and there's nothing you can do about it. All you can do is go to practice and sit and watch because you're only going to play once in the next 5 days, and when those 5 days are over, I would predict it's going to be a lot worse than it is right now.
Paul's appearances on WGR is always brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Thinking about today and planning for tomorrow by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. Paul, you talk with the players. You know this group, their mentality. We know that the messaging that was coming out last year. I mean, I'm very interested in what the messaging is going to be at the end of this season. I don't think we're going to get like a Sam Reinhart, Jack Eichel type of, okay, well, it looks like these guys don't want to be here. I don't think we're going to say that, but what are these guys going to say at the end of this year? Because, I mean, we're getting to that point, and people are tired of, well, you just have to work harder, and we're really close. I mean, that was last year. And the messaging going into the year was, we're ready to win. Not just from GM Kevin Adams and head coach Don Granato. They said that. The players basically said it. Like, yeah, it's time now. We got young guys. We're here. We were very close. We're ready to win. I don't know what they're how they're going to treat at the end of this year. You're in that room. You talk to these players. What do you think their feeling is collectively about this year and where they fell short?
Well, it's a failed year because many players had career years last year, and most of them did not live up to it this year. And when you have almost the whole team regressing, I mean, J.J. Paterka didn't, Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen didn't, some of the defensemen didn't, but when you got your forwards as a whole, all of them except a few have regressed, and now, you know, was last year the fluke when they scored all the goals, or is this year the fluke when they didn't? What I don't want to hear, which I heard some of on trade deadline day, is how much of this is just young guys learning. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, we're past that. I know you learn from every experience, and I get that. But if you decide you're going to basically sit with the same roster because these guys just took a little bit longer to learn, I would say no, that's not right. You need to make some changes, and you started with the defense. You, with the Casey Mittelstadt and Byram trade, that's a huge trade that needed to be made, and should have been made last summer as far as getting a top four defenseman. And you know, Kevin Adams said, "Well, I've been trying to do it for 2 years." Well, okay, whatever, you did it, and now that's been done, but you still have to find some forwards that are harder to play against. Not fighters, not guys who just go out and hit everything that moves, but are hard to play against, where the other team knows they've been in a hockey game. The veteran guy, and Kevin Adams didn't come right out and say it, but I just got the impression from what he was saying on trade deadline day that he pretty much had a deal for a veteran forward. You know, and he'd been talking about getting, you know, a 26, 27-year-old guy that, you know, can do different things, and it sounds like that forward would not waive his no trade to come to Buffalo. And that was getting better last summer, you know, where agents were calling Kevin Adams. He talked about it, that agents were calling him saying, you know, we're interested. You know, what do you got there? You know, is there any way our client would be a fit, type of a thing? Well, that's now gone away again. And Adams, remember when he was on the pregame with Brian and I, he came right out and said, that's our fault. That's on us. We've now created that situation again where players don't want to waive their no trades to come here. And he goes, we have to change that. And that's on us. And that, you know why that's on them? Because of what we've witnessed this year.
Yeah. I wonder what you would say to this, Paul, because like, that makes me think of something we just kind of talked about with like the coach and like, would they move on from Granato? And I think there's an expectation there maybe be a little bit of a surprise if they did. I feel like, Paul, that they have such a tough time attracting players and getting them to come here. Like, Granato is even beloved by his players. Like, he's got a pretty, I feel like, favorable approval rating around the league amongst at least a certain group of players that I almost wonder if they feel like they could even move off him because he's one of the few things they can sell to get players to come here.
I don't think there's any chance they're letting the coach go. Kevin Adams.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Has pretty much said that publicly, you know, that he thinks the coaches are doing a good job in preparing the players. He's in on those meetings. He likes what he hears. He likes what he sees. He thinks, you know, the coaches are doing the job in preparing correctly. And I don't think Terry Pegula will press the issue. If for any reason other than the contract extension Don Granato signed doesn't start till next year, and I don't think he's going to let a coach go who hasn't even started his contract extension yet, you know, and You just heard the COO talk about how Terry Pegula has told him how much he believes in Kevin Adams and the program that he's running and the plan that he has for the Sabres for the future. So it doesn't sound like there's going to be a change at the GM from Kevin Adams either, from what the new COO just said. So people who are looking for Kevin Adams to be fired or looking for Don Granato to be fired or looking for assistant coaches to be fired, I don't think you're going to get your wish.
Paul, do you know Pete Quale before his hire as COO of the Sabres and Bills?
I didn't. He was more on the Bills side, you know, when last time he was here. So I never got the opportunity to meet him.
Me neither. He left in 2009 from the Bills. I came back here in 2011. But as the respective people in our positions, you and me, as the beat reporters for these teams in Buffalo, you'd probably agree with me when I say the biggest thing he can bring immediately is stability, right? I mean, they've had so many people in and out of those top-level positions. I mean, yes, there's a lot of work to be done, the stadium, the arena, you know, obviously, you know, helping the Sabres try to get back to a point of winning in whatever capacity that can be. But stability, to me, is number one in a position like this, considering everything that's gone down.
Yeah, and everybody I've spoken with, I've spoken to maybe three or four people who are in the know, think this is a very good hire. Not necessarily connected with the Sabres or Bills organization, just people in football or people in hockey think this is a very good hire for the Bills and the Sabres. You know, his credentials speak for themselves, what he's done in other places. They need some stability. I mean, and he knows that, at least, you know, from what I've heard in interviews, he definitely knows that. And he knows how to help turn around a franchise. I mean, I won't speak from a Bills standpoint. You could speak better than I, but I will from a Sabres standpoint. There's a problem between the Buffalo Sabres and their fans right now. And there are hard feelings on both sides. The fans, because they can't stand what they've watched the last 13 years. They can't stand what they've watched in their own arena for the last two. And they've let the team know about it. Sometimes maybe have they gotten carried away? Maybe. But they're frustrated. And the Sabres, the players, have not liked it. And they, for a little while, rebelled against it and stopped acknowledging the fans. And I still don't think they're over it, to be quite honest with you. I don't think there's this let's go win it for the fans that was there before. And I think there's a wedge right now between the Buffalo Sabres players and their fans. And so I think that's something that needs to be addressed and talked about and figured out, because that's not going to work.
Good stuff, Paul. Appreciate you. Thank you. Have a great weekend.
Take care.
All right. That is Paul Hamilton here on the West Her Hotline. We'll take a timeout. When we come back, Joe, I want to touch on this Ohtani story. I'm not sure how much you know, but you know, I'm still digging into it a little bit myself, but it seems like there's always something different you'll learn about it every time you read or you hear about it. So we'll do that, and then we're going to play NCAA Survivor on day number two of the first round coming up at the top of the hour here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. So, Joe, how much have you read or listened about this Ohtani story?
Enough to know mostly what's going on.
Okay, good.
And what
good,
the theories are.
Yeah, so in case people aren't familiar, and I'll try to, and you correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm trying to piece this all together as well. It's kind of on the fly as it's happening. So there's this illegal bookmaking operation that the FBI investigated in California. And one of the people that was part of it was Ohtani's interpreter. And Ohtani's interpreter, it traced back to getting money from Ohtani through a wire transfer, $4.5 million. And his original story, which he went on the record, talked to ESPN, the interpreter, Ipe Mizuhara, is I think how you say his name. My apologies if not. But he said basically in this on the record interview that he's like, yep, I did it. I'm a bad gambler. And Shohei had nothing to do with it. He wired me money in order to pay for the gambling debt. And then all of a sudden the story changed and they said, no, that did not happen. And he stole the money from Ohtani. Either way, the story here that's, you know, baseball wise, Ohtani's name and money, $4.5 million, is essentially connected to an illegal bookmaking gambling operation going on. No one has accused Shohei Ohtani of gambling on baseball, betting on baseball. I want to make that clear. However, there are natural questions that lead down that road. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I and it's so, it's not quite flimsy. It's just a very hard to believe set of circumstances that kind of lead you to the conspiracy theory, if you will, that it's actually Ohtani that has the problem. I mean, like, you know, I've heard it. Right. I'm sure you have too. Like, what would have happened if Ohtani was the one that owed the gambling debt and we got to this point? I mean, you know, you'd tell your interpreter, I'll take care of you, because otherwise I go down forever. I get the Pete Rose suspension and you're out of a job anyway, so you might as well go down for me. There was video. This is the weirdest part to me is that during the game yesterday, I mean, there was no indication for him at all that this was happening, to the point where ninth inning yesterday during Dodgers and Padres, there's the camera that goes over to Ohtani and the interpreter in the dugout, and they're laughing it up. They're palling around. Just there was nothing. Like, yesterday, you guys were still like that? I don't know. It's just seems a little strange to me. And I would, you know, I wouldn't be against someone that wanted to have some thought of, well, if it were true that Ohtani had a problem, would baseball even do anything about it? Because do they want that out there? All of the gambling partnerships that happen now in the league, billions of dollars are now at stake. And there's no chance in the world that Rob Manfred would want it out there that the biggest star of his sport is somehow involved.
And you're right. You brought up Pete Rose. I mean, Pete Rose is still, he was banned from baseball back in the 80s.
But that's, you know, that's what 90s, I mean. But, like, there's a sentiment out there that if this was Pete Rose 2.0, it wouldn't go down the same way.
Yeah.
That if Pete Rose happened today, it would not go down the same way at all. It would get hidden. It would get washed out because there is now business interest at stake.
I mean, there are conspiracy theories. I don't know if you've ever heard them, read them, seen them. There's conspiracy theories about Michael Jordan and when he stepped away from basketball because of his gambling.
That it was a year-long gambling suspension?
Yes.
That was the theory? Yeah.
Even maybe a couple of years, and then he came back to kind of, you know, hey, we need you back, and ratings are down, and come on back. There's conspiracy theories out there. You can go watch them. You never know what is true or not until you know, I guess. Is Ohtani, one other question on this. Do you think Ohtani right now is the most popular athlete in the world?
In the world? No, I think Messi is the most popular athlete in the world.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, my bad on that. That's because I don't...
But...
I mean,
he's not far off.
I don't think about soccer, but I know you're probably right, though.
Yeah, but I don't think he's far off. I don't think it's like insane to have thought that he could have been. Right. I just think Messi is in a whole nother stratosphere.
That's right. It's got to be someone who plays soccer and how much of a worldwide sport that is. But certainly Ohtani is right up there, no doubt. But this is a really interesting story, and I'm sure we're going to be hearing more about it. There's no Major League Baseball investigation, quote unquote, right now. Like, that's not happening. It's an FBI investigation, and Major League Baseball is like, okay, you tell us what you find.
Right, kind of.
Okay. Right?
Which I kind of think is them, no investigation at all on your own.
Uh-huh.
Like, I think that is them a little bit being like, we kind of are rooting for
sticking
this to be
sand?
Nothing. We're almost afraid to look into this because of how bad it could be for baseball.
NCAA Survivor today. We will eliminate one by one teams playing today for whatever the heck reason we choose to get to one team we're all going to root for. Up next on the Extra Point Show.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!
listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.